So I am Brian Barr. I'm the director out at Lakeview Christian Camp, in case you're scratching your head saying, we give money to him for what? Yeah. So I'm the director. My wife and I and Ellet, the little munchkin back there, we moved here in April. And we have thoroughly enjoyed our time here in Kansas. It's been really wonderful. It's been really busy, but it's been really wonderful at the same time. We're really blessed to be here. And so I have been going around to different churches, not just promoting camp, but preaching. I love preaching. I hope that comes out, not just in my passion for the Lord, and I hope it rubs off on you as well. Before I get started, I would first, do you have your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I will tell you that I'm from North Carolina, and I have a draw, and I say ain't and can't and y'all and all that good stuff, okay? So please forgive me. One of my mentors, his name was Albert Lilly. Great man, just a godly man. In fact, if you ever heard of Savannah Christian Church in Savannah, Georgia, he was actually one of the ones who helped start that church. Just a wonderful man. And he told me one day, he said, Brian, you got it. It made me feel good. I didn't know what it was that I had, but he said, Brian, you got it. He said, you got a gift of communication for the Lord. I was just humbled by that. He said, Brian, but you got to get that redneck out. I said, oh, no. So I hope if you can't understand something I say, please just raise your hand and I'll say it over again. Before I get started this morning, though, Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be at. And I'd like to pray, okay? So if you don't mind, pray with me. God, we love you. God, we are here not just because it makes us feel good. God, not just to see the person that we're sitting beside or see the preacher or even see me. God, but we're here to see you. God, we're here to hear your word. God, we read these stories in the Bible about these wonderful things, these miracles, God, of how people were healed. God, how people were raised from the dead. How there was this movement of what is called the church, of how thousands of people daily come to know you. God, and we want that. God, do something. God, do something this morning. God, do something today. Show us your power. God, we want a miracle. God, we want to see you in this fallen world. So many times we get distracted. God, just please get the devil out of this place. Open our minds. Open our ears, God, to hear your word. God, again, we love you and we're just in awe of who you are, being our creator, being our father. God, we just pray that you move. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look around in the world, it's getting pretty bad. Would you agree? So I'm from North Carolina, and we had a hurricane come through there last night. So please be praying. I called my brother on the way up here this morning, and he told me that last night he went out in the middle of it and looked, and the water had actually raised up, and it was about 5 foot from our doorstep. Our whole yard was underwater, okay? He told me that in the swamp that I grew up in, playing, running, cowboys and Indians, it's actually flooded in the fields. There's a little dip about a quarter of a mile from my house in the road, and that's about 3 foot under the water. So it's just a mess. We didn't have any trees or anything real bad fall. One of our plum trees that we had in between our house and our barn, that actually come down, but that's no big deal. Kate was a little sad. She said that was a pretty tree, and you're right, it was a beautiful tree. So just be praying for that area. Kate's mother lives in Newport News, Virginia, and right across the street, they had a great big oak tree fall down across the road and into her yard. Just a lot of mess everywhere. So please be praying for that whole area. You know, the more you look at the news, the more you see these great big storms or these tornadoes that are coming through the place and just tearing things up. But also, the more you look at the news or the more you look at Facebook, whatever it is, whatever your way is to look into the world, you're seeing more and more hate. more and more hate. So again, I'm from North Carolina, and all that stuff that went on in Charlotte, I don't know if y'all saw the protests and things that went on. You know, it's just a terrible place. You know, just so much hate. And it's not just race against race. It's everybody versus everybody. You know, and we're doing it to ourselves. We're doing it to ourselves. You know, I expect these things from the world. It's like in 2 Timothy chapters 2 and 3. You know, this is where Paul talks to Timothy and he says, look, in the last days, this is 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, you're going to see these things and it's going to be really bad. People that are lovers of self and lovers of money, you know, disobedient people. You're going to see children that are disobedient to their parents, you know. And, you know, you read in those chapters about the things that he describes in the last days, and you're like, you can check it off. We're here. We're here right now. And just, Paul, you're exactly right. You know, you're exactly right. These are the last days. You know, and it's sad. It's sad because, you know, disobedient to their parents, that's not surprising to us anymore. What's surprising is what? When a kid actually does what the parent says, right? That's sad how it's got to be. But we see these things, and Paul says, you know, in the last days, these things are, it's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad. But you know what? We expect these things from the world. The world is going in one direction, and that's toward the end. Okay? And we know that because Jesus says, I'm coming back. And we read about Jesus coming back throughout the New Testament in the epistles, when we're in Revelation. We read when He's coming back, what's going to happen? The world's going to end. That's going to be it. You know, Jesus is going to come back. The dead are going to rise. We're going to all have a resurrected body. Not just those people who believe, not just those people who are immersed or God's chosen, but everyone is going to have a resurrected body. Okay? Everyone's going to have that resurrected body just as Jesus had when He was raised from the dead. We're going to have the resurrected body. We're going to stand before the judgment throne. And God's either going to say, come on in, good and faithful servant, or I never knew you. And then as John said, I saw the new heavens and the new earth coming down. That's going to be a glorious day for some of us in this room right now. It's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be like the best day that we've ever had in our lives right now, times by 20 or a million. And then it's going to be the worst day for some. The worst day, take the worst day that you've ever had in your whole life right now and times that by 20 or a million. And it's going to be like that. But it's coming. It's coming. And Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's saying, look, these are the days that's coming and it's going to be really bad. And you can't do nothing about it. I expect these things from the world. But you know what? Paul is not talking to Timothy about the rest of the world. You know what he's talking to him about? Is the church. That's what breaks my heart. Is he's not talking about the world, lovers of self. You know, we even preach that in church. You know, love your neighbor as what? Yourself. We preach it. And it gets in people's mind, well, I need to love you as much as I love myself, so let me love myself a little bit more. Right? That's not how it's supposed to be. But that's what we do. We're so selfish. We think about ourselves so much. It's always about us. And it's not about you. You don't need to love yourself anymore. You need to love God. Because that's what it's all about. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's done all these things to put our lives in order. You know, if you breathe, everybody just breathe. He allowed that to happen. You know, He gives us breath every single day. He allows us to breathe. He allows us to go on. And what do? We become more and more selfish. And we worry about Fox News. And we worry about Facebook. And we worry about going to the grocery store. And we worry about all these petty little things that don't make a bit of difference. We're so concerned with today. We're so concerned with right now. You know, we already talked about lunch this morning on the way up here. Chin-Yan, what do you want for lunch? I mean, that's our mindset, is what's our next meal going to be? You know, what do we need to wear instead of my brother in Christ passed away and his family's hurting? My sister in Christ is battling cancer right now, and what have you done? You gone to pray with them? No. Many of us, we get so caught up in ourselves that we don't do anything. And this is what Paul is talking about to Timothy. He's saying, look, in the last days, the church is not going to be the church. They're going to hire preachers. They're going to hire evangelists to tell them whatever they want to hear, to make their ears feel good, to make them feel good to come into a building and sit down and hear a 20-minute spiel about how good they're doing in life, how well they're doing, you know, all these good things, that they're not sinning. That's what it's going to be like. And if you look around, just look on the internet, there are churches that support homosexuality. There are churches that support immoral things. There are preachers out there that will tell you love wins. Rob Bell, he wrote this whole great big book saying, you know what? If God is a God of love, then how could he ever send anybody to hell? There's all these things out here that tells you you're doing good, you're good enough, and everybody's going to heaven. But you know what? If we all go back to our scriptures, if we go back to God's Word and we read, we find that that's not how it is. That there's actually condemnation for those who are outside of Christ, Romans tells us. It says, if you're part of the world, if you let the world come into the church, if the church is no longer the church, then there's going to be problems. I ran into somebody the other day that said, you know, I was sitting in the tire shop. I said, I just can't understand the Bible. I said, well, what don't you understand, sir? He said, pretty much all of it. And I said, okay, well, show me the last thing that you read. You know, show me the last thing you read and perhaps I can help you understand it. Well, he said, oh, I can't remember. It's probably been 40 years since I read anything. Honest. My response is, well, sir, how do you not understand if you're not reading? And that's the thing, is God has given us instructions. God has given us a way. You know, He has spelled it out clearly. In Acts chapter 2, you know, the first gospel sermon that was ever preached was preached by Peter. And it was preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And he says, look, you killed Jesus. You messed up real bad. And when the Jews heard this, it said they were cut to their heart. And they said, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? Because we know we're broken. We're away from God right now. And what does Peter say? Acts 2:38. Anybody got that memorized? It's one of our foundations. What is it? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, when that was preached in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, it was talked about, God said, I'm going to take my spirit and I'm going to put it inside of people one day. And everybody was like, how is that going to happen? And then here comes Jesus on scene. And he does all these wonderful things. For 3.5 years, he took 12 people. He took these 12 people. He said, follow me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. 3.5 years, he poured his life into these men, showing them what it meant to be fishers of men. And then Jesus died on the cross. And we see on that day, the Holy Spirit come down like a with a vengeance. The Holy Spirit come down and dwelled in people's hearts, and that message spread throughout the whole known world like a fire, like a rushing wind that just spread everywhere. And it's amazing to read. It's amazing to read like Acts chapter 2. You know, we've preached on it so much about that day, about the first sermon and about how 3,000 people were added that day. You know, they were all baptized and got the Holy Spirit. But you know what? If you keep reading, like in verse 42, somewhere around in there, you'll read something that is amazing, more amazing than the first part of that chapter. And that is that those people were passionate. Those people, they fell in love with God. They fell in love with Him so much that every day they were going to people's houses and taking communion. Every day they were going to the sick and they were healing them. Every day these things were going on, and every day we read, every day numbers were being added to the church, and it was exponential growth. Exponential growth. 3,000 people, 5,000 people, just blowing up. And why? Why isn't that going on today? Why isn't that happening today? Jesus says in John, He says, for those of you, verily, truly, I tell you, for those who believe in Me will do the things that I am doing. Even more, they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Does that not fire anybody up? Does that not open anybody's eyes that Jesus is telling us that if we truly believe in Him, that we are going to be doing the things that He did? How many people's ever healed anybody before? Made the blind to see? Raised somebody from the dead? No. How many people have done greater things than those? I can't even wrap my mind. I can't even wrap my mind around what He's talking about. What are greater things than the things that Jesus did? Just amazing. Why are we not seeing these things anymore? Why? It's because just what Paul was writing to Timothy, because in the last days, people are going to be selfish. They're going to be lovers of money. They're going to be disobedient to the Word. But there's some hope. There's some hope. You know, I was telling you, we find some hope in one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians chapter 3. I told you to turn there. If you don't mind, read this with me. So there's some hope here, okay? And listen to this prayer. Listen to this prayer, because it's beautiful. All right? Starting in verse 14, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." How many people have heard a prayer like that recently? I haven't. Mr. Elbert used to pray like that. He's the last one that I've heard, and I'm 31 years old. How many people have prayed like that, really? You know what our prayers are? Please pray for Elliot, his head hurts. Please pray for Tom because he might get fired from work. That's what our prayers are. But you know, in this prayer, this is a teaching lesson right here, this prayer. Because, you know, instead of ailments, instead of things happening, instead of praying for those people like that, we need to be praying like this. Because this is a game changer. This is a world changer right here. If we could pray, not that somebody will be healed, not that somebody will not fall off their bike when they're riding it, none of that. If we pray that they will know the love of God. If we can change our mindsets from the small things to see the big picture, then we'll change it. We'll change it. Because, you see, the small things don't matter. In the end, it really don't. People are going to have trials. People are going to have problems. There's going to be sickness in the world. There's going to be sickness in the church. But if we can start understanding that when people know in their minds, know in their hearts who God is, when they can try to understand just a little bit about the love of God, then it'll change so much. It'll change everything. So what does your prayer life look like? What are you praying for? If you're not praying for somebody by name, then maybe we should assess our prayers. If our prayers are about us all the time, me, maybe we need to think about our prayers a little bit. Because the church is hurting. The church is broken. It's still going because of the Holy Spirit. But man, we're barely hanging on. You know, this election is like two little kids fighting at each other. Could you imagine what the world would look like if the church was the church? Could you imagine what it would look like if we went back to the church in Acts chapter 2 where they were going to each other's houses and they were praying with each other and they were taking communion to each other and they were healing each other? Could you imagine what that would look like? But why? We've lost it. We've lost that passion. We've lost that want. The young lady that was up here, what's your name, ma'am? Camilla. Okay? She was talking about how we experience these spiritual highs. Okay? That's what happens is, you know, the Holy Spirit is always, for those of us who have been immersed into Christ, the Holy Spirit is always with us. Okay? He's always with us. All right? All the time, He's with us. He's inside of us. He's dwelling here in our temple. We are a temple of God. Okay? He doesn't just leave. But you know, we experience these spiritual highs. The Holy Spirit works. He works in this way. And then we leave the place that we're at, or a few days will go by, and we'll start going into our rhythms again. Waking up in the morning, reading the paper, cutting on the news, drinking our coffee, eating our muffins, go throughout our day, not thinking about our spiritual high that we just had, not listening to the Holy Spirit who's there, who wants to move in us all the time. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered how one day we can be like, man, I'm going to the poor. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to give them a coat. I know that Shaquilla is they're poor and they need some food. I'm going to take them some food. You know, some days we're like on top of the world spiritually. And then the next day we're down, way down here. It's not because the Spirit leaves us. No, it's because of our minds. It's because of the TV programs that we watch. It's because of the Facebook posts that we stop at and we gawk at. It's because of the things that we search on Google. It's because of the conversations that we have with our coworkers. See, these things, they just eat at us and eat at us and eat at us. You know, Paul wrote again that bad company corrupts good character. You know, he's not just talking about the good people. He's talking about all of these things in the world. They just eat at us and eat at us and eat at us. So be on guard. Be on guard. You know, because the devil's here. And so many of you, I've heard things about y'all. You know, you're doing good things. Don't let the devil at you. Don't let him. In the name of Jesus, push him away. Because the name of Jesus is more powerful than the devil. He's more powerful than Satan. In fact, he has already been defeated because of the name of Jesus Christ. We can have such hope in that. We can have such hope in that, you know, and that can drive us. That can drive us to do great things. But you know what? You don't have to change your community. You don't have to change your family. What you have to do is control yourself. And once you start controlling yourself, that influence will rub off on your wife. That influence will rub off on your husband and your child. It'll rub off on your neighbor. It's like being in a big boat, you know? Being in a big boat, I remember my stepdad. He died several years ago, but we had this 21-foot-long boat, big, deep V-hull. Okay, and we used to go out in the Pamlico Sound. And man, I remember this one time. It got so bad. It was worse than the ocean out there. 21 foot long, okay? And we were going up a wave, and we saw water up here and water behind us. Okay? Huge waves. All right, and we go down. And Philip, I mean, he was like this, just chilling. Wasn't scared a bit. And I'm over here, I'm like puckered up real bad, just holding on so tight, just scared. Man, I was scared. And I looked at Philip, man, are you okay? What's wrong? Are you scared? He said, no, I can't control the waves, but I can control the boat. And that's how it is for us as Christians. We can't control the world. We can't. The world is the world. The world is just like those things that we read about in Timothy. But we can control our boat. We can control what we do. We can control what goes on inside of our boat. What we listen to on the radio, what we watch on the television, what we say with our mouth, we can control those things. And once we start controlling those things, our lives will move. Man, you don't know. We don't know the riches that Christ has for us, that He has in store for us. It blows my mind to start thinking about it and to start reading about some of the promises that He's given to us. But we have to control our boat. We have to start praying for people's hearts to be changed. Not their bodies, not their monetary situation, but their hearts, their souls to be changed. So that they'll know how long and how wide and how deep the love of Christ really is. That's our prayers. That's what they need to be. Here's the thing. Okay? We talked about how bad the world was in the beginning. And it's getting worse. In fact, it scares me to think what Elliot's going to see in his lifetime. I know what I've seen. Man, I've read what some of you have seen. And it's scary to think about these new generations coming up and what they're going to see. And we have to get ready. And we need to choose the day. Just like what Joshua was telling the Israelite people. Choose today who you are for. We're in a time right now where we have to choose. It's either God or not. There's no gray area in right or wrong. It's either right or wrong. It's either God or sin. Okay? And it's just like when Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea that we read in Revelation chapter 3. It's just like that. Okay? He says, look, I see what you're doing, and I wish that you were either on fire or not. Right now, you are lukewarm. And I'm going to chew you up and spit you out because of it. That's scary. Because most of us are lukewarm. Because on Sundays, we're really spiritual. We go to church, we sit in our chairs, we sit in our pews, we pray really good prayers. Monday morning, we go to work. See, that's the definition of a lukewarm person. It's sometimes you're on fire for God, and sometimes you're not. And it's a warning, and it's a scary warning that he says, I'm going to chew you up and I'm going to spit you out. Because God don't want no lukewarm people. God wants you either on fire or not. Because he needs people that he can use all the time. He needs people that are willing to take the spirit that's inside of them and go do the works that Jesus did. And do even greater things than he did. And you know what? It seems discouraging because that's a big goal to set. But you know what? It's really not to think in the beginning was God. God was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came down, the Son come down, he went to earth. He says, but I'm sending you an advocate, I'm sending you an helper. And the helper, that Holy Spirit, come down and now he lives inside of us. So God is inside of us as immersed Christians. So where's the limitations on God? And if there's not limitations set on him, how can we set limitations on his spirit that's inside of us? That's a question. We have so much untapped power that lives inside of us as immersed believers that, man, we need to get out. Because our children, our grandchildren, we are hurting and broken. And the answer is here in his word. The answer is right here. Just please open the book. You're never going to understand it unless you try to. And if you don't understand something, man, Kevin's smart most of the time. You know, you have elders here at the church you can go to. If you're not comfortable with talking to any of them, please look camp up on the website. Call me. I'm not smart. I don't have all the answers, but my goodness, I'll pray with you 100%. I know how to find the answers. Okay? So please, don't just sit there. Don't just scratch your head and wonder, can I be better? Because God is saying, yes, you can. He sent Jesus to tell you, hey, look, you're imperfect, but in my eyes, you're perfect. He sent Jesus to say, look, I love you so much. I love you so much. See, that's the message of Jesus Christ. It's that God loves us just as we are. So please give yourself to him. This morning, if you're outside of Christ and you haven't made that decision to come to him, I pray that you do. You make that decision today. Because the world is going one way. The church we're seeing is going one way. And we need some help. We need someone that's going to stand up and say, look, enough is enough. I'm going to pray for your heart. I'm going to pray that you know the love of God. That you see him working every day. We need those warriors. We need those Joshuas and the Gideons. We need those Peters that's going to stand up and do something. In James 1:22, it says, don't just listen to the word, but be doers of the word. You know? So please go out. Do something. Don't just sit. So will you pray with me? Our Father, we hear you. Help us to do something about it. God, help us to not be so selfish and want so much for ourselves, God, but help us to go into our communities and into our homes, into our towns, God, and to this whole place and show the people who you are. God, because we know that we are your hands and we are your feet. God, we know that your Spirit is living inside of us with such great power. God, help us to try to understand that better. God, help us to take that power and start doing the things that Jesus said that we could do. God, we love you so much. We know that it's not about us and it's about you. God, help our lives to reflect that more. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the message that you sent to us, telling us that you love us. God, help us to put aside our sin. God, help us to stop nailing Jesus to the cross with the things that we do and the things that we say and the things that we think. God, and help us to start glorifying him. God, you're amazing. And again, we love you and we're thankful for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.